Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll bring you some of the highlights from Friday's Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce Eggs and Issues panel discussion on understanding the downtown homeless issue in Eau Claire. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. And for Friday's event at the Chippewa Valley Technical College Business Education Center, a wonderful panel was put together by the Chamber's Vice President of Governmental Affairs, Scott Rogers, and they were trying to address key questions like who are the individuals experiencing homelessness that are seen in downtown Eau Claire, and what are the issues they face? How does it affect downtown Eau Claire businesses, residents, and visitors? What measures are being considered and pursued to address these issues? It was acknowledged that finding answers is challenging, but the hope is that the panel discussion would add some clarity as the community continues to wrestle with these questions. In terms of public policy solutions to the homelessness problem in downtown Eau Claire, you'll hear discussed in this program work on a day resource center and also plans to try to bring in a street ambassador program working with an organization called Block by Block. First, though, as we try to get a handle or a better understanding of just who are the homeless in Eau Claire and elsewhere, Hope Gospel Mission Program and Education Director Chris Headland says, despite what some people think,
the data shows that there's not a large migration to our area. It's mostly local people with local ties. At Hope Gospel Mission, when we see people, what we're finding is that most of the people are from this area or they have family in this area.
Headland says,
if it's easy to be homeless, it can increase these numbers. People like electricity and water can take the path of least resistance. If it's easy to get out of homelessness, it also increases the number of people who can successfully stabilize. And right now, there are people who are not connecting with resources for different reasons. Some won't, some don't want to, but some can't. Sometimes there's a level of apathy and giving up hope when you have barriers that seem insurmountable and you haven't been able to have a win for a while, you start to give up. If you can't get the resources, you start to give up. When you're confused and you can't navigate the system, you give up. When you feel alone and helpless, you give up. And so simply existing is the path of least resistance. And people don't want to be unwell. Remember when I said before that any one of us could be staying at Hope Gospel Mission? It's not uncommon. Hope Gospel Mission, we've had doctors and nurses and attorneys go through our program, business owners, millionaires. We had someone stay at Hope Gospel Mission who was a professional baseball player. He played for the Atlanta Braves, and now he was in our program. Things like addiction can take you out of the knees. People don't want to be millionaires and then be staying at Hope Gospel Mission. That's not what they're choosing, but that's what the circumstances have brought them to. And I've seen this many times where people just reach a level where they've lost hope and they can't get back to that healthy stability without help. And just like somebody who's drowning, you can only tread water for so long and keep your head above the water. And so Hope Gospel Mission's vision for the Day Resource Center is to take the established day shelter and elevate it to a resource where we can directly connect people in need with the allies and resources they need to get well and stabilize. Make it easy to shower and do laundry so that they can have clean clothes for a job interview. Help that person get to the job interview. Help them find housing stability so they can maintain their employment. Find addiction recovery programming if they're struggling with an addiction, whether it's simply peer support or connecting them with a long-term program that can help them have a complete fresh start on their life. We want to help people move toward their wellness, not just simply exist. We want to do it in a financially responsible way by increasing the efficiency of connecting people with those services, not providing more services. And we want the path to wellness to be easier so it becomes attainable and attractive for more people. Success breeds success, and we want to design a culture where people are winning. Can we help everyone? No. Does everyone want help? No. So we have to be honest about the outcomes we're expecting to achieve with the Day Resource Center project. But even if 50% of the people experiencing homelessness and addiction have positive outcomes from this project, that's hundreds of people each year, and that's a big impact for our community.
For the City of Eau Claire's Project Management Coordinator, Billy Hufford, the subject of homelessness hits close to home.
I'm a very private person, so this has been something that's been difficult for me to share, but I think it's important in this context. My dad was homeless for a couple years.
Hufford says she and her brother were faced with the very difficult decision of deciding to no longer support their dad.
He was an alcoholic. Many years he was a very functioning alcoholic. He just kept slipping further and further and, you know, would wake up in the morning, go get a beer, go back to bed, and that was his day. And so we had to make a decision to let him find his path. So he ended up homeless, and he would have died on the streets if it wouldn't have been for somebody finding him and connecting him with resources. Now, there's a lot of individuals out there who have opinions about people with substance abuse and stuff, and they would probably look at my dad and say, this is his problem. He put himself in that way. He needs to pick himself up. But what they wouldn't have known about my dad is his father died when he was 16. That's happened to a lot of people, and they've worked through it. He made the decision with a friend to enroll in the Army so they could go in the buddy system, not alone, because they were positive they were going to get drafted into Vietnam. So he was over in Vietnam. His job, and I didn't learn this until after he passed away from, you know, some of his Army friends, his job for a lot of the time was to jump off the helicopters and go retrieve bodies of people who were killed or who were injured and take them back to the helicopter. Learning that, I wish I knew would have known that when my dad was alive. Because we had a great relationship, but it would have been a different relationship, I think better and stronger. But I think about that, and I think, I don't know if I would have been able to process that as well as he did. And he struggled with it. But having those images and those memories in your head every day, to be able just to drink through it, I think that was a huge accomplishment for him. And I'm so thankful there was street outreach individuals who were able to help him. He was still an alcoholic. He got better with it, but he was able to get into housing. And, you know, we need programs like this. If there would have been a day resource center where he could have went from the beginning and been able to connect, he may not have been homeless for 2 years, you know. So for me, you know, I think this is good public policy. I think it's needed. But very personally, I know how it could positively impact people that, you know, some of us may be sitting there thinking they just need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and move on because we don't know their whole story.
The City of Eau Claire's Project Management Coordinator, Billy Hufford, talking about how homelessness has touched her family. Meanwhile, Hope Gospel Mission's Chris Hedlund says,
Any success is better than no success, right? And so, for example, at Hope Gospel Mission right now, when people come to our door and they're maybe not the best fit for our program, and we refer them to somewhere else, about 1 or 2 out of 10 are actually following up on those referrals for different reasons. Maybe they can't get there, maybe they just give up, or whatever the case is, but if we're able to connect that person with the services they need immediately, if I can, instead of saying, go to this place on this bus at this time and try to find this person, if I can take them across the hall and introduce them to that person, if I can increase those referrals from 1 to 2 out of 10 to 4 or 5 out of 10, that's a success.
The Housing and Family Services Director of Western Dairyland Economic Opportunity Council, Katie Hulbert, adds to what Hedlund has to say.
When I work with our housing staff on a daily basis, one of the biggest issues they bring up is, well, we referred them there, but they didn't make it there, you know. And every time somebody comes into our building, if they need to go to a different service that Western Dairyland doesn't offer, or maybe it's a community table, maybe it's, you know, Catholic Charities, there's a distance of walking and they don't make it there. And so echoing what Chris is saying is that if we can do that warm handoff with them and have these services coming together is going to make a huge difference in the lives of these people and for the resources that we have available. What's been being done for the Day Resource Center? So I would say well over a year ago, we, Western Dairyland was approached, as was Hope Gospel, from the city to say, hey, can we come together? Can we make this a reality? Over the last year, we have spent countless hours working together, communicating, meeting weekly, looking at different possibilities that have come up. We have toured buildings. We have looked at different lots. We've, you know, met with the council. We've met with the community. And so where we are at right now, you know, we are looking at needing at least a minimum of an 8,000 square foot building so that we can house the Day Research Center project and what Chris would like to offer for that, as well as all of the Western Dairyland housing department, and also having flex space so that we can have other organizations and agencies come in, such as Department of Corrections, you know, hopefully medical workers, different housing providers here in the community to be able to work with these individuals. As I mentioned before, when they're pulled up on the coordinated entry list, once their name comes up, now we have to find these folks to be able to offer them these programs. And that's one of the hardest things to do, because if they don't have a place to live, if they don't have a phone, you know, we have to go out in the community to find them. But if they're regularly coming to the Day Resource Center, we can more easily find them and connect them much quicker than what we have in the past. And so with that, as we've gone along in our journey here to get this going, we began a campaign readiness study to figure out, you know, is there enough philanthropic support here in our community to do a capital campaign to either renovate a building, to purchase a lot, whatever that might be at this point. And so we've hired Crescendo Fundraising to do this. We are currently in the phase where they're analyzing the data. I know some of you folks here in the room were invited to do interviews for our campaign readiness study that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. We have a study committee that we worked with prior to this that, you know, the folks here at the table are on as well. So the next steps are, once this data is analyzed, can we, you know, is there enough philanthropic support here for a $6.2 million campaign so that we can have the building, either renovation or building new, and then as well as some operating costs for the Day Resource Center itself so that we can get that up and going and be able to maintain that throughout the years to come. Once the data is analyzed, it will get presented to us, presented to our board, and then we will get that information disseminated to the community with what our next steps are going to be. But like I said, throughout this process, you know, we're working very heavily with Hope Gospel Mission to make this a go-ahead.
As for when we might expect to hear a decision on a location for a Day Resource Center in Eau Claire, Western Dairyland's Katie Hulbert says,
you know, we've received a lot of community comments about where that location should be. We have identified that it does need to be in the downtown area. A lot of our providers are here in the downtown area. Our homeless folks are all located down here. It's within the bus system so that transportation is feasible. As of right now, Western Dairyland and Hope Gospel Mission, we are heavily looking into privately owned buildings to purchase. We are working with a realtor right now to find what that best location might be. We do not have that yet, but prior to a campaign being started, we would have that location identified.
After Friday's panel discussion, I caught up with Western Dairyland's Katie Hulbert and began by referencing the recent public informational meeting that was held in Eau Claire on a proposed Day Resource Center.
It just seemed to me like some of the folks were expressing their uncomfortability with the $6.2 million price tag. Can you speak to that at all for people who feel like, wow, that's a lot of money? And I think a lot of them seem to be saying, can't you find a building that already?
Yeah. So it is a lot of money, and we wholeheartedly agree with that. And, you know, like I mentioned before, we have been exploring a lot of other options in the area. We have explored a lot of buildings. We've toured different buildings. We've looked at different lots. And when you look at the buildings we've been touring, the cost of renovating is extremely high. And then additionally, when you look at building new, that cost is extremely high. Also, that $6.2 million does include a million for operating costs for Hope Gospel. And so that also kind of adds to that. Again, you know, we are heavily looking into, you know, looking for a building to purchase, because that's a lot of the feedback we have been getting. And so if we can do it for less, we absolutely want to do it for less. But we also want to make sure that there's those operating costs for Hope Gospel to get underway and to be able to then maintain that moving forward.
What about the Eau Claire Academy?
That is one building that it is very big. It's not probably bigger than what we need to look at. We have not toured that building at this point yet.
Have you guys, I know you were asked about trying to further it down. Like, I think that particular day there were probably at least 6 to 7 options that were mentioned, with Wilson Park being one of them. So have you guys narrowed the list any? Where's the list of possible choices at in your thinking now?
We have kind of put to rest some of those public spots that we talked about at the council meeting because of the community's feedback in regards to looking at some more buildings and privately owned buildings. And so Western Dairyland is really pursuing the privately owned buildings at this point. We've hired a realtor to look into those. We have been kind of keeping those to ourselves because sometimes when it gets out, it kind of creates more barriers for us. And so, but we are actively looking.
The Metro was brought up that day. It wasn't on the list. And one of, it seems like one of the objections that was raised by you or others was too close to Sojourner. So is too close to Sojourner still, I heard you say today you guys feel like it should be downtown. Is too close to Sojourner still something that could rule it out? Or where are you guys at on the too close to Sojourner?
We don't want it too close to Sojourner because then we've kind of created a community of, you know, our homeless and our housing insecure. And that can then create other issues. And so we really want to try to be, you know, spacious and so that people aren't just congregating in one area and one area only.
Again, that's Western Dairyland's Housing and Family Services Director, Katie Hulbert. And they're heading up the search to try to find the right location, building, what have you, for a future day resource center, currently tabbed as a $6.2 million project. Finally, Aaron Klaus, co-owner of Tangled Up in Hue, a downtown Eau Claire business, and also the promotion coordinator with Downtown Eau Claire Incorporated, answers just what is a street ambassador program, what do they do, and why does she think it's important?
Really what a service like this does is it alleviates the police department from being called to handle situations that really aren't appropriate for them, so leaving them to handle what needs to be their emergency services. It's a point of contact for the businesses, for the agencies, and actually for the city collecting data on what's happening every day, where it's happening, and how we can better handle those situations. So in an ideal circumstance, if maybe I have someone come into my facility and they were either causing problems or maybe they were in the bathroom for a very long period of time and we didn't know how to handle that situation, we could call an ambassador, they could come visit and de-escalate the situation or help the business be able to focus on what they should and provide, you know, access to services for the individual who has the need. And so not only is it good for the public perception, but it would be an essential resource for businesses to be able to go on with their day-to-day. And so really we're just, again, looking for that piece of the puzzle that, you know, just a presence of someone uniformed but not in a police uniform that you see on the street. So as you're walking into that restaurant or that facility, you're just aware that they're there for help. And so hopefully that will start to decrease the perception that it's dangerous or unwelcoming here and start flipping that on its head.
And the city of Eau Claire's Billy Hufford says,
"We didn't learn about Walk by Block until I went to Milwaukee. We knew they had a program in their downtown bid. So I, you know, set up time, went down, met with them, learned about Walk by Block. I think I walked around with my jaw just hanging to the floor. It is an amazing program."
So while homelessness is an issue of concern currently in the city of Eau Claire, work is being done by lots of people to try to come up with answers, first through a potential day resource center, and also through street ambassadors, potentially working with this, what sounds like a terrific organization, Block by Block. In the last few minutes, you've heard from Chris Hedlund, Program and Education Director at Hope Gospel Mission, Katie Hulbert, Housing and Family Services Director, Western Dairyland Economic Opportunity Council, Billy Hufford, Project Management Coordinator, City of Eau Claire, and Aaron Klaus, co-owner of Tangled Up in Hue, as well as the Communications and Promotions Coordinator for Downtown Eau Claire Incorporated. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening to this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.